Right, Reformation, here we come. So, in West Kirby URC, we're doing in 5 weeks, which is the last, what the Christian Church has been working through for 500 years, for the glory of God alone in the Reformation. And we are the United Reformed Church, so it behoves us, it is a good thing for us to consider this matter on the 500th anniversary of this chap, Martin Luther, getting his hammer and nails out and his pen and hammering to the church door in Wittenberg, what were known as 95 Theses, that became a critique of how the Christian life should be lived and how the Christian life is personal to each one of us in a way that the medieval church had rather lost sight of. And let's just see how we're working. Here we are, 500 years on. That's what happened 500 years ago. The guy pinned the theses to the church door. And Martin Luther was bringing back to the forefront of our attention what are the eternal truths of the gospel. I suppose the key word that we're going to come back to today is faith. Faith over and over again. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for these amazing reasons that he said he was. You know, I'm the bread of life. That's what inspired my artwork over here this morning. I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. You'll never be hungry. You'll never be thirsty if you come to me. And I'm the light of the world. And I am, and these are the words that always hit me, I am the resurrection and the life. And, oh, thank you. My artwork is collapsing. Martin Luther had his thoughts focused on the particular subject of what we've come to know over the years as justification by faith, how we individually can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have our lives turned around, turned right way up, if you like. We talk about turning things upside down, but turning things the right way up, that we as individuals can have our lives renewed, made new, by coming to the Lord Jesus personally, that one-to-one relationship, and he makes us new. We've focused on five particular points over these weeks that we've been studying that are summarized in the bottom right-hand corner there. Only Scripture, by faith alone, by grace alone, Christ alone, and I come now to the subject of to the glory of God alone. The Reformation touched my life in about 1963, and it touched my life through the unlikely combination of football and friends. And I want to tell you a little bit today about my personal story as it unfolds to the glory of God alone, together with the whole Christian church's story of how these 500 years have seen a continual flowering and development of all that it means to live by faith. By grace, we are saved through faith. When I first introduced Louise speaking on this, I said it was like Martin Luther's theses went viral on Facebook. That was the best analogy I could think of today. By the end of the year in 1517, when Martin Luther had pinned his thesis to the door of Wittenberg Cathedral, it had gone into print on what were then the new technologies of printing. And that's the very fascia of the document that was printed in Leipzig by the end of 1517. It was all over Facebook in today's analogy. And so the revolution of the Reformation had begun. And that's what we're going to look at now and see how it works out in our lives. So what does it mean in our times and in our life, this glory of God, working out the glory of God? Well, the two readings that we've had this morning, one was from Peter, and the other was, and we'll come back to that a little later, from John's Gospel. How should this touch my life through football and friends in 1962? You may ask, or you may not be remotely interested, but I'll tell you, since you asked, right? My main love of life as a 12-year-old was football, and I supported Aston Villa because I was a Brummie. I grew up in Birmingham, and my joy was to go and play for the school football team on Saturday morning and go and watch the Villa on Saturday afternoon, if they were at home. And I had, at that time, some friends who lived down the road that were keen Villa supporters, and so they took me along to the Villa. I'd not been before, and they introduced me to where they played football on a Friday night in their church hall, which was a gospel hall. Now, I'd grown up as a Catholic lad. I went to a Catholic grammar school, I was confronted with a whole new way of looking at Christian truths. My main interest was going to play football, but after the football was kind of a Bible study. And so I sat down in the gospel hall, and gradually through a year or two or three, I learned the truths of the Christian faith from a new way of looking at them, from, if you like, what we now call a reformed way of looking at them. But I didn't know that. You know, I knew and was well informed, in a way, as a lad growing up, about Christian things, in the sense that in my Catholic grammar school we had religious studies every week, and it had a meaning and a significance to me. But there was something new here. These friends who I got to know were teenagers my own age, and somehow God had touched their lives in a way that was new to me and different to me. I could see it in their lives. And I gradually came to understand what it was, that they had personally put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, somebody who would renew and change their life, somebody who would forgive their sins, recognizing that we were all falling short of the glory of God. And as I came to understand that and actually see it in the lives of my friends, so I began to understand that this is what the glory of God is. I didn't see that just then. This is a more adult reflection on it, if you like. But what I mean to say is I began to see in people's lives how what I now can see is the glory of God worked through their lives. Their lives were different because they had come to Jesus for the bread of life and the water of life. They had been born again. I began to understand and appreciate these terms. And in due course, I came to that personal faith myself. Not that I didn't have faith before, because I was brought up in the family of the church, in the Catholic Church. But I came to an understanding that these two things come together in the Reformation, and we are invited to each have a personal faith in Jesus Christ, which renews our lives, which makes everything different. Nothing is ever the same from the point at which we come to put our trust in Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life and the water of life, sparkling up to new life. And this is the point for us now, that in our seats right where we are, and as we leave here and go out into the community, so is the glory of God expressed in our lives. Isn't that an amazing thing? The glory of God may be seen in the heavens. The glory of God may be seen in rainbows and beautiful art. But in everyday life, in our lives, the glory of God is worked out by the way you live and act and how every bit of your life is. Every bit of your life, every bit of my life is a prayer, and that is to the glory of God. So this faith in coming to the cross is what changes everything and renews everything. Each individual has to come to the point of faith because God has no grandchildren. This is what Luther was saying. This is what the Reformers were saying. Faith is so individual and personal. It's worked out in each of our lives. And once you get there, it's a living faith. It really is something to jump for joy about, says he, falling off the platform, right? There is joy and vibrancy and renewal. Everything is changed. And each one of us is taking, so to speak, that leap of faith, that leaning back, as Tim put it, trusting in God. And as we do that, he doesn't drop us. He doesn't let us go. That's the wonderful thing. And, you know, in the crisis of life, don't we really all need that, this glory of God? I visited my mother yesterday, who's in her final days now, 93. I don't think she's far from heaven, but she's not afraid of death. She's lived all her life in the context of Christian faith. She too was actually brought up as a Catholic, and part of our unfolding story is how we all came to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. But that's what we do. We take that jump into God's hands, and he doesn't let us go. And once we take the jump, it's as though then the transformed life starts to grow anew. This is the story of the vine and the branches. This is the wonder of the Reformation worked out in our individual lives. Because Jesus said, I am the vine and you're the branches. The reading that we had today. You'll grow in me and this will be to my glory. This will be to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Here's the vine bearing much fruit. Right? Isn't that a wonderful picture that the branch that is otherwise dead by itself and joined to the vine bears this amazing crop of fruit? So my own story is this, that I was brought up as a Catholic lad in Birmingham. The influence of friends in the Gospel Hall brought me to faith. In parallel with that, my own father, who as we were growing up was somewhere between atheist and agnostic, was brought to faith by somebody putting a leaflet in his hand, which took him along to a church where he was desperate because of an accident that had happened to me in the home. Actually, I was close to blinded in one eye by a penetrating injury, and my mother and father were desperate over this. They just couldn't find answers to the problems that confronted them, and they found them in faith. My father was brought to the point where, almost in desperation, he put his faith in Christ, and I've never seen a man so renewed and changed, although he always was a funny old stick. That's probably what all lads say about their dads. But his life was renewed. And thank God, you know, through modern science, I was able to have a cataract operation as a teenager and was able to have my sight made good. as all these influences built upon me, I found myself at university, and there at Christian Union, I found many wonderful things, including my wonderful wife, because we met through Christian Union. And this, I want to say, as part of my personal story, is part of my Reformation story. Because to the glory of God, when we put our lives in his hands, he works out in our lives the story of what our lives will become to his glory. And I praise God for a lovely wife, and last time I said this, I said over 30 years of marriage, and Liz reminded me it was over 40. Now, how time flies when you're enjoying yourself. Right, but here we are, look. So I invite you to think, how is God working out his glory in your life? Because he is, and we need to try and make ourselves open to him doing that the more and the more completely. So from that time on, we now have two grown-up children. And you know, part of the continued blessing, if I may say, is that, I can say because my son and daughter aren't here, but my son, who grew up mainly amongst, apart from coming to church here, as he went on to non-Christian friends, and then went away to Spain to work and so on, met a girl who turned out to be a wonderful Christian. And they are a lovely Christian couple. I remember her coming to church here one Sunday, the first time or second time we'd met her. And I had to come up and give, I was doing the prayers that day. And I wondered why, when I went back to my seat, she was crying. I hadn't got a clue what was going on because, you know, I'd not met her before. But it turned out, as we got to know her and as her story unfolded, that she, for a time, had been praying for the right Christian guy that she would find, who had a Christian family and a place where she would feel at home. And I thought that was I praise God for that. That was lovely, lovely for our son David, lovely for Liz and I. It was one of those real glory of God moments. Oh, thank you, Father, where did that come from? Right? But we have to look out for these things in our lives, because amidst all of the nitty-gritty of life, there are these moments of pure joy, and there are continually these moments of blessing to the glory of God. Be prepared to sense the hand of God upon your life. Be prepared to recognize it and acknowledge it and respond to it. Here is the glory of God. So what kind of person do you want to become? I say we want to become people who will share God's holiness in Jesus. We want to become more like the Lord Jesus. Here is the glory of God expressed. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us so that the holiness of God himself may be ingrained in our lives. In that way, others will be drawn to the Lord Jesus also. Because although you might not be able to immediately see it, and although things don't always change quickly or suddenly, there is this steady influence that we have as we live our lives in holiness to the glory of God. And so our prayer each day really should be that all that we are and all that we have be transformed to God's praise and worship. For that is to the glory of God alone. Amen.